The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Hey, everybody. Chet Waterhouse from Play With Pain talking to you. Listen, we need you to take the Podcast One survey. It's a blast, and it's super easy. Go to podcastone.com/mysurvey, or you know what? Just go to podcastone.com and click on the giant survey banner. You can't miss it. If you filled out a survey in the past, just do it again because it's kind of fun. And listen, all of us here at Play With Pain and all of us here at Podcast One are thanking you because you're doing us a huge favor by filling it out. So go there and have some fun. Thank you from Chet Waterhouse.
Time to play with pain, where sports and inaccuracy collide. Now, here's your host, veteran sportscaster, and the voice of the International Speed Fishing Championships, Chet Waterhouse.
Brother! Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My guest today, hilarious stand-up writer, dad, maybe the only man alive who survived projects with both Roseanne and Tom Arnold, Joel Madison. Joel, how are you?
I'm good, Chet. Thank you, man.
Nuts. Hang on. I got to get my producer to remind me. I got an update I got to do, Joel. Hang on. Brought to you by Nothing in Commune, the commune for total strangers. It's in Oregon. British Open won by Francesco Molinari, who I believe is also one of the three tenors. He won what's called the Claret Jug, not to be confused with the Clarinet Jug used by Kenny G on his CD, Kenny Goes Country. Tiger Woods led the final round just long enough for his fans to say, "Hey, I told you Tiger's back." Oh, no, he's not back. Jordan Spieth fell apart faster than peace with North Korea. The tourney was played at historic Carnoustie, which is Scottish for new car smell. Those open highlights brought to you by Grampoline, the goose down trampoline for retirees. Easy does it with Grampoline. NBA news. Oh, Joel. In LA, another LeBron billboard was defaced. Or the world's largest pigeon down an entire lemon meringue pie and couldn't quite make it back to the nest. They're still working on that one. College football. Alabama's Twitter account suspended again when an emoji Nick Saban verbally abused an emoji of a referee. And finally, Canadian football. Johnny Manziel traded to Montreal for a crepe cart and a French Netflix code. That Waterhouse update brought to you by Pinocchio's, Nevada's only all-puppet brothel. Now it's time to talk, finally, to Joel Madison, Roseanne, Malcolm and Eddie, Tom Arnold Show, worked with Louis Anderson. We're going to get to all of that, but you started as a stand-up in a team.
I did. How did you must have done some insane research.
I had a good research guy. My stat man, Jimmy, sits on the horn, all does it the old-fashioned way. Goes to the library, does the microfiche.
Oh, geez. That's really in-depth.
Yeah, he likes the old-fashioned way. He doesn't trust the
microfiche.
Internet. Yeah, because he says there's something called the doc web.
Oh.
Yeah, doc web, actually.
Doc web.
Yeah, it used to be the team trainer for the Minnesota Twins.
I thought he was the horn player over there.
Yeah, he led Magic Johnson's band on the late night show, didn't he, doc web?
He did. Great
job. So how'd you start with the team? What happened? What made you get into comedy, and then you wound up in a team to start?
I wound up in a team. I did about a year as a solo act. And got kind of bored, and there was another guy who was just slightly worse than me. So I figured, well, this is a match made in heaven.
And you'll look good.
Yeah, I'll look good.
Anytime you leave the stage.
So we did that for about, 6 months, and I realized it's less of a team than I was doing a ventriloquist act, is what it was. Because I kept saying, be nice
human
to the guy. Why are you so mean? And that's what I was doing the whole time. See, and I went, I could save money by actually just buying a dummy and firing that guy.
Yeah.
And that's
probably
what I did.
Lighter on the knee.
Well, too. It's easier because that guy wouldn't fit in a suitcase as well. So,
no, at least not willingly.
No. And I can't find him. He might be passed.
Oh, really?
I haven't found
him. He's passed down. It was the comedy team of
Lincoln and Madison.
Lincoln and Madison.
Very short-lived, but that's how I entered the Minneapolis. When I came to Minneapolis, I came as the team.
That's right. Yeah. And then he had some
trouble with the law
or something.
Trouble with the law, and the law won. So
now, back there, because you had to say to yourself, all right, clearly the big money's in solo comedy.
Yeah, yeah. Why should I split that $20?
Right.
When I could have it all myself. That's what I did.
So that's you got into solo Green. Stuff in a great scene. Louis Anderson was there. You worked with Louis.
Young kid named Jeff Cesario.
Oh, yeah, my buddy Jeff Cesario.
Bill Power. There was a guy who was, I think it was 850-pound, the largest comic on earth, Scott Hansen.
Yeah, a lot of people used to say Louis Anderson could hide behind Scott Hansen.
He could.
Still
he could.
Be seen.
Twice the man
and
Louis
was. Twice the premises.
Exactly.
A bonfire.
Oh, my God. When you're that big, for God's sakes.
So what's your craziest memory of that scene? Because that's a heck of a scene. And in addition to that, they had Joel Hodgson was there
who
did Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, he came on that scene.
And Josh Weinstein who helped him do that.
Yep.
And then there was Liz Winstead who started The Daily Show.
Gosh.
And then there was K.P. Anderson who was a little younger but wound up here doing all the Joel McHale stuff.
Right.
There was Sid Younger who's doing stand-up and improv and wound up being a big wig at Roseanne. We're going to talk about him a little bit. John Foster.
Although he wasn't a stand-up, he came out of that scene.
That was a small scene, but a mighty scene.
Mighty scene.
And what do you remember most? Peter Tolan, my goodness. Right hand on the Larry Sanders Show and on Dennis Leary's Rescue Me Show.
Right, he created that. Huge.
And then the De Niro movie. Analyze This.
Right, that's him.
Something like that, somewhere in there, yeah.
Why don't we get him on the show?
Nah, we don't
get
the show because he's...
All right, let's get to the serious stuff.
The credits would take 20 minutes. I only got 35 minutes.
Oh, shoot. Let's get to the serious stuff. Enough
about
me.
What killed you about that Minneapolis scene? Because that's an interesting place.
Man.
I don't think a lot of people know comedy happens in places like that.
Yeah, which is good.
It's just good they don't know.
They don't know. They won't come. man, you know, that is a tough question, Chet, because so many... that's where I was... So many of people were born stand-up. I came there. I'd been doing it like a year or so, had no idea, and all of a sudden I'm doing every night, really perfecting. I think the biggest thing to come out of that is that the comics there really worked on their craft, even if they didn't know it.
Small scene. But lots of small number of comics.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it kind of blew up, a lot of stage time.
A lot of stage time
is what you're saying. So
yes.
Yeah. So
you really got to work on your craft, which is the thing. And nobody
can't do it nowadays. So, somebody's got a phone aimed at you.
Oh yeah, no, you can't.
You're done for. In fact, you got to have it.
You got to have it.
It's like part of your marketing.
When you first get 5 minutes, you got to put it up somewhere.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're already dead.
You're already gone.
Yeah, you're retired.
You're past your
that
prime.
That scene was just like a lot of good guys, man. A lot of good people.
Yeah.
Crazy times. I mean, what a great place to be a younger comic.
Yeah, it was. You know. You could make your mistakes in private. There were a lot of good different styles in a very small scene. I remember that because I was through there doing the speed fishing championships.
Who won this
all
year?
The time. Norway again, 11th out of 12.
Gotcha.
Japan got it the one year. I think it was 2011.
Mm.
Japan snuck in there. Well, that's the combination of speed skating and ice fishing.
Right.
And,
the
lines get crossed. A lot of guys lose an eye.
Yeah.
But Norway won. Elapsed lap time, 52.3 seconds. Let me get my stats on this one.
Yeah.
And, yes, 7 musky and a northern they caught.
Ooh.
That's hard.
Mostly no walleye this year.
Yeah, you know, mostly, exactly. You're from up there. You know
I know.
So you still, I remember from going to the clubs back then,
had
one of the greatest opening lines of all time. I still put it in the top five, which is,
thank you.
I know what you're thinking. I have the body of today's woman.
Yeah.
That always killed me.
I think I might have just done that once, Chad.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember it. I was there the night you did it.
And I went, well, we can put that in the pocket.
A big laugh. It's over. I don't have to do that anymore.
Right. It's
That's
proved
an
its
unusual
point.
Theory.
It's proved its point. Just do it till it gets a laugh, then move on.
So comedy's about proving a point to you.
Totally.
Not really making a living.
No.
Just prove the point.
All right. This is funny. Dang it. I'm going to ram it down their throats.
Now, you have a theory because you're kind of on the periphery of sports itself, but if you got caught in at a party.
Yes.
And you had to talk sports.
Doesn't work anymore.
Sound like you know what you're talking about. You kind of steer it to any sport, really.
Any sport.
Any major sport like football, basketball, baseball, how would you?
Because
you don't care really about
the sports. I don't really care. Although Packers.
Packers,
we'll talk in a second.
Yeah, we'll talk Packers.
I'd ask, how did Johnson do? How did Johnson do?
So it wasn't even reactionary.
No.
That's what I love about that. It's aggressively, you're inserting yourself, because you know at some point it's going to come around to you anyway.
Yeah. Well, I found out a big thing, though, is that most sports people.
There are Johnsons everywhere.
There are Johnsons in every sport.
Yeah, there are.
Not as many now as there used to be. But I did find out, and it was a big awakening when anybody wanted to talk sports that wasn't a professional like yourself, is that they don't want to actually have a conversation. They want to tell me what they know. And so as soon as I realized that, I go, they don't want to hear what I have to say, so I can coast.
Yeah, so it's a short editorial on their part.
Yeah.
And if you can just occasionally insert these, how did Johnson do?
Yeah, how did
Johnson
do? That'll
start them up again for another.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, Johnson. Oh, man, he missed two passes, or he hit a fly ball into right field. he bobbled it, and he got caught dribbling.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
And a couple of those. Yeah, whatever those sports
things. Whatever those sports
things. A couple of those. And hopefully everybody's high enough.
Well, exactly. And everyone
where
thinks,
they forget about that.
Madison knows as much as me. He's like a sports expert almost. And all I have to do is, how's Johnson?
And he plays it close to the vest.
Yes.
With his information.
Yeah. Don't hear a lot about from him.
And
but
speaking
they don't
of, you have occasionally used medical marijuana as a comedy aid.
And I don't know if I've used it as an aid.
You ever gone on stage a little blitzed?
Maybe twice in 1,000 times I did stand up because you just need.
Did you like it?
Too much? No, no, it's too uncontrolled.
Like
no.
You lose too much control, or you go paranoid and think you have too much control.
You lose too much control. Period.
Really?
You know, as a stand up, you're thinking on three different lines at the same time. Not lines as far as things to say, but on three different tracks. You know,
right,
you're thinking
right.
about
Uh-oh.
What you just said, what you might say, how the audience is doing, if there's a noise. For me, I lose too much of that, and I get too much in my head.
And then you wake up and go, oh, my God, have I spoken in the last 40 or 45 seconds?
The one time I did it,
good.
I remember I was a little high, and I remember like,
this
I did
one
this
of the
whole,
two times.
One of the two times. I totally remember it. And I had worked on a bit all morning, and it didn't go anywhere, and I started laughing, and I go, no, folks, you don't understand. I put in like a lot of brain power on this bit, and that's what I'm laughing at. I'm laughing at myself for even thinking about this stuff for as long as I did. I thought about it for 2 hours.
Oh, man. Yeah, you thought about it. And that's your job, and then
doesn't work. I think I was high when I thought about the bit because it had something to do with, I don't even remember.
But you know something?
It doesn't matter.
I think you proved the point. You proved the point. Never have marijuana.
No,
and,
it's okay
and you're about
for
proving
writing.
The point.
Yeah. Listen, kids, stay away.
Exactly.
Stay away from
me. Speaking of proving a point, here's some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your entire interior. You just rub it in a nice soft cotton cloth. That's true. Removing excess weight from your car is going to improve your gas mileage, and you can place your key fob, you know, the little alarmy thingy, to your chin, touch it to your body. It increases its range. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Here's another tip. You may not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you're going to enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid. Yeah, that's like legal. So they know if they're getting a good deal before buying, they're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Now, let me ask you this. I'm speaking with Joel Madison. Now, this guy, man, oh, man, you've been in some tremendous writers' rooms. You got hooked up with tremendous comics. It may have started, if I recall, because I think I remember when I was going through for the Speed Fishing Championship, seeing you on stage and Tom Arnold back in the goldfish era.
The goldfish era. He had a goldfish act.
He started as a comic out of the Midwest, right?
Yeah, he was an Iowa guy. And I run into him, and he was just a fun-loving, big, beer-drinking, fun guy to hang around with. So why not hang around with that guy?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And he spun goldfish on a turntable.
It was
which,
an animal act.
Yeah, it was an animal
it
act.
It was an animal act.
Without that second level that often happens with animal acts.
Where they take care of the animals?
Which is, this animal could go nuts
and
maybe kill the
goldfish are pretty benign.
Yeah, especially when you spin them on a record player.
Spin them on a record player.
They get a little dizzy.
Yeah.
That tip brought to you by Lazy Tip Corkscrews. Pull it out every time with a lazy twist. So you meet Tom, you go, this guy's a good party guy.
He's a party guy.
Yeah, and then he met this Roseanne. This is in Minneapolis.
Then he met Roseanne and went his own way.
But then you kind of circled back around, didn't you, at some point?
You get the call because he had hooked up with Roseanne. They were kind of doing a show. I'd been writing jokes for her and him on the side anyways. For stand-up while pursuing my own thing.
That's a great way. The kids don't know that.
But you gotta know how to write a joke. That's the problem.
It can't be
an observation on Los Feliz coffee shops.
Yeah, it can't be a performance piece.
No. Or something about your childhood that has no punchline.
And you can't be bitter telling it.
You know, there's a lot of bitter 22-year-olds.
There does seem to be a genre now of comedy where they apparently do not want to be there. That's an interesting hook. Works for some guys.
Totally.
And by guys, I mean comics. I don't want to get caught in a Me Too thing.
Right.
But for some people, some comedians seem to be able to pull that off. But
if it's authentic.
Yes.
The problem is there's not a lot of authenticity.
That's the key.
Yeah.
It's got to come from kind of who you are.
Like I was, you have to be authentic and you have to own what you say. Yeah, I was thinking of this bit the other day because I'm dabbling into stand-up again. And I thought, well, it's my mom. It's like, well, it's not my mom, but it's a funny routine. I can't sell it as my mom. So it's my friend's mom. And he found out, she's 72 years old and money was tight. And he found out she was doing granny porn. And so they had an intervention and they go, and the whole family's there. And the mom, please just don't do any weird stuff and embarrass the family. That's all we ask.
Straight ahead missionary position.
Exactly. No gang stuff. For God's sakes, mom, we have a reputation. We have a family. And the little kid is there. Grandma, don't do it, please. And then I was asking him, like, well, how did he find out? That I don't really want to know how he found out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because was it his friend that saw, and then now I can't look his mom in the face anymore.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Because you certainly don't want to touch the face.
No.
You don't know
And then I'm obligated to Google and find.
Yeah, you have to because you need to know your friend, who your friends are.
Yeah, who your friends and who your enemies are.
That's right.
Authentic, I can't say that it's my mom and because I don't want to be the guy with the mom, so it's my friend's mom.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. You know, that was good advice. Seinfeld once gave a comic who was writing fat jokes for someone.
Yeah.
And he wrote a fat joke for him. And Seinfeld said, well, why are you giving away the fat jokes? And the guy said, well, I'm not fat. And Seinfeld said, two words, fat cousin.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
I got a fat cousin.
Boom.
Yeah.
And now that is 7 minutes of material.
Guy is a fat comic somewhere because he got so wealthy at being a stand-up, he actually ate himself into being fat, and now it's him.
Wow. That's deep.
Yeah.
I like that
It's all interconnected, the whole world.
I might need some dope for that one. We might have to find some medical marijuana here. Now,
Chet, I want to hear about Packers, though, this year.
Hey,
I want
to
hear
your
prediction.
We're going to talk Packers, but I got to know how you got into the Roseanne camp.
So
Tom kind of says, okay.
So Tom says they start.
Honestly, folks, we're not even high, and we nearly missed that entire thing.
All right, so Roseanne puts him on. He helps her with her HBO special. Which they kind of did a little sketch at the end, which was a precursor to the Roseanne show with him as the star, as the husband. So the network buys it. However they sold it, they said, Tom can't be the husband. We got to get somebody that knows what they're doing, John Goodman. So he's there for the first couple of years, and it's not going well. He's having all sorts of fights. They fire everybody. She takes over the show, which she probably should. They were writing a show that wasn't her. They were writing a very straighter, more ahead sitcom than she wanted to do. So they fired everybody. They got some guys to take over. And part of the deal was, we want a couple of guys. We want to hire a couple of writers. So they hired me and Don Foster to come in. Not even Sid yet, because Tom was having a problem with Sid. They were fighting.
Sure.
And so he said, nope, I'm going to punish Sid and not bring him in until later. And so we came in. And I had not written a sitcom before, but I'd worked on an HBO special. I did a rewrite of a movie. I'd gotten a couple of spec scripts that I was writing. So I was kind of prepared
You'd been doing the calisthenics.
Yeah. No one was going to hire me on a top 10 sitcom
if
they were smart. But so we came in, me and Don. And
not
of course,
much of a qualifier out here if they were smart.
I know.
So you and Don come in.
And we're right away, we're their guys. So we're, you know, I don't know if you've been in that. That's a tough
chemistry in any booth.
Chemistry. And I sort of, I didn't use it. I used it, but I didn't abuse it. And so that was my entree. So I spent 2 years there. And then
that's when the show kind of picked up a little
bit. Well, we did. And it's not to me. We had a good group, and she made it hers. I mean, and look, that cast was great. They took material that sometimes was very mediocre.
That is true.
And they hit it out of the ballpark. John Goodman can make a straight line funny.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, that's the dream if you're doing a sitcom.
Yeah. And Laurie Metcalf.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's like your cleanup hitter. I mean, you can give her
in.
She's the Rosemary of modern day.
Totally. Oh, my God. No, I mean, she's so committed to character. And that's what it was. It was a character study about a poor family or, you know, very lower middle income family in Illinois. And that's, we know those people.
Yeah,
I mean, I knew those people.
Yeah, well, I'm from that guy. I'm from Chamber Falls, Wisconsin.
Oh, so you know that group.
So now you use a little momentum from that and you get into some other things. You do some things with Tom and then you come up with Malcolm and Eddie, which is, you know, kind of an underrated sitcom. Lasted a long time. And you
kind of, 4 years.
You kind of like, came up with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Eddie Griffin and I had the same agent, and so did Malcolm Jamal Warner. And that was kind of put together by my agent, really.
He said, hey, why don't you guys go out for coffee?
Yeah. Well, Eddie still has a deal somewhere. Look, I wouldn't have set out to write a sitcom about two young black guys.
Right.
Wouldn't have occurred to me. You're not at the top of that priority list? No, no. But you know what? To me, it was always a show about two guys. Two guys, and
I
you
think
make
that's
it funny,
the key.
And of course. And so I had coffee with Eddie. Didn't really know him very well, but we had passed through. He had started in Kansas City, which was a home away from home for me.
Yeah, so we had a lot of Midwest comedy scene you were on.
Exactly. Spent a lot of time in KC. So I mean, that was like huge, a huge bonding thing. And we said, well, could we do a show? And got along with him. Got back, called the agent, and that's when the agent said, well, Malcolm Jamal is thinking about doing a sitcom again. He had a failed one the season before. Could you put those guys in a room? So I went and had coffee with Malcolm and said, what do you think? And he said, I don't know. So the three of us went out and did the dance and went out and pitched it and sold it and blah, blah, blah.
That's fantastic.
I mean, it was all very path of least resistance in many
ways. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, that's the way things get done around here. That's the way Hollywood can be, is sometimes you let the water just flow.
Well, yeah, they aren't, and I tell people this every day, they aren't waiting. They aren't sitting in the room waiting for the idea to come.
No, no, because they wouldn't know it if it hit them, if it climbed up their butt and said hello.
And barked on them. Yeah, yeah, no, so Eddie had a deal, and
that's
they wanted
the granny
to do
porn
it.
I saw. Now I remember. Climb up granny's butt and bark on her.
Bark.
That's what I saw. That brought to you by Blood Bowl. Like paintball, but with real blood, yours. All right, let's a couple of things. Hey, you know what? Let me squeeze this in because these folks
squeeze it in.
You brush your teeth, don't you?
On occasion.
Yeah, I brush my teeth. A lot of people don't do it right, don't know when to do it, don't know how to do it, could probably use some help. And you go to the dentist, and they just pump you full of stuff, and you can't remember. You're in a panic because your tooth hurts. And you know you got to trust. You got to trust the people at Quip. This is a new company, I'm telling you. They help you brush your teeth right because most people don't brush them right. They don't brush them for long enough. Quip comes in and bang, here's what they do. It's an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of bulkier brushes. But it's still it's packing just the right amount of vibrations. You know, it's one of those electric things to help you clean your teeth. And they got a built-in timer there. So you clean for what the dentist is trying to tell you that you never remember.
2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes. Bingo. And a little thing goes off. So every 30 seconds, boom, you pop it around your mouth. So you know when to do it. Walks you right through the entire process of cleaning your teeth because we cannot get this right. It's been millions of years
of evolution.
And Quip is the company that can come by and say, hey, we're going to help you. Plus, here's the key. They got a subscription for your like a plan that you subscribe to for your health. It's not just convenience. They deliver new brush heads. You know how you're supposed to change those?
Yeah.
Everybody always goes, how
People
long
forget.
Have I had this? Like two and a half years and still got pork on it and stuff. You don't want that. It can't happen. Every 3 months, they send you this stuff. You
what?
Get it in the mail. You go, bingo.
This is crazy.
I got to use this. So every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. Now, it also comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror. So you see it when you wake up. You go, oh, got to brush my teeth. They don't miss a trick. these quip people. And that mount unsticks and can be used as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth. So your brush, boom, it's a double kind of thing. These people, they don't miss a trick, I'm telling you. The Quip folks don't miss a trick. And finally, everyone loves Quip. They were on Oprah. It was named one of Time's best inventions, and it's the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association.
Wow!
So you can trust them, man. Every dentist worth their weight in gold fillings. Nine out of ten dentists are part of the American Dental Association. So if these people give their signature on it, their stamp of approval, you know you got a good product, and Quip has a good product. They're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists, and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers use Quip every day. So Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/chet, that's me, right now, you're going to get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/chet. That's getquip.com/chet. So take care of your teeth.
That's not associated with Quib, which is a different thing. You know, I have like 8 monthly subscription things. I'm going to get that one.
Yeah, Quip is good.
I got bow tie. I got a bow tie a month.
Bow tie a month. Do they tell you how to tie it, or does it come pre-tied?
It's pre-tied. You get a bow tie.
I don't mind
bow
that.
Bow tie in a box. I don't know who signed me up, but I stayed that. I got munchies from around the world.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. That's
although,
good.
Do they tell you what you're eating?
No.
No, good.
No.
That's probably good, because when you get the box from Thailand, you don't want to know.
And I get some razor blades. I've got about 8 monthly deals.
Now, listen to me.
Yes.
We're a Packers fan, right?
Packers fan. I'll tell you how I got into it.
Yeah,
young comedian out of Wisconsin, friend of yours, Jeff Cesario, used to do a bit about ice fishing, and the punchline was, they're in that thing, 800 below, at least I'm not with her. Which is the punchline, or them, yeah. Family. Get away from the family.
Right.
So I never was a sports fan, as we talked about, but I got into football. I'm from Wisconsin, so I've always been a on-sideline Packers fan.
Sure.
But when I had my kid 12 years ago, I started getting into football so I can have a Sunday to myself. Not
so
ice fishing.
So it's the ice fishing shack theory.
Yes.
You've built at least,
honey, you know I'm a Packers fan. I'm watching the game.
You're literally asking yourself
on
the couch, how's Johnson doing?
So I've always been like followed the Packers sort of, but now like I watch, since my kid was born, every game I watch or try to watch.
Fun team to watch.
It's a great team to watch.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And plus
always
it's
exciting.
like the public owns them, their shares. It's a whole different thing. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Now, did you even bother with athletics when you were a kid?
Thank you. Yes, I was on the tennis team for 2 years.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's awesome for you.
Yeah.
And I did you have the body built for it.
For a today's woman who plays tennis.
Yeah, right. You have the body built for it, and yet you have no probable desire to do it, so you must have just frustrated your coach.
Oh, yeah. No, he was. And then the first tournament, I was in a doubles team, and I went, these guys are really good over there. I mean, holy mackerel, we're not just smacking it around.
No.
And they don't play 2 bounces. So this is horrible.
Yeah, there's no league, not even in high school.
No, they don't do
that
2 bounces.
No,
and I did play soccer for a little bit. And I did get recruited by the wrestling coach to do 110 wrestling.
Oh, you wrestled that 110?
No, but I didn't. He tried to get me on the team, and I went, yeah, no.
Oh, that's a classic yeah, no.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
is a
no.
Classic yeah, no. I love the yeah, no.
Well, yeah, because I might be able to curry favor with him, which, you know, you always want the gym teacher to be on your side at some
absolutely.
Level.
Absolutely.
You know.
Especially when you're hitting tennis balls in 2 bounces.
Right?
You got to have a little protection at school.
No, you got to have some backup when you're a skinny kid getting picked on, you know. So, yeah, but I couldn't.
That was too much even for you.
Yeah.
No, that's
a weird sport. We had that whole wrestling, like, semester, or 6 weeks of wrestling.
Oh,
we
had to do it in, like,
gym. Gym. So I got a taste of it, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Of a guy's butt in your
face.
At least
the smell of it.
Exactly.
You got a
certainly
smell of
I got the smell of it. The general.
That anecdote brought to you by transvestites. Old-fashioned, time-tested sexual deviancy you can trust. Listen, I got one of the greatest comics in showbiz, with the greatest comic writers. He's one of the best guys in a writer's room with me. So it's time for the advice corner. Let's get some tips from Joel Madison for my listeners. These are actual tips. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
Here you go. Biggest mistake a civilian makes when speaking in public, because you're a good writer and a good performer.
What are like, mistakes?
When people just get up and have to say a joke or something at a...
When not remembering the punchline, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Or starting with the punchline.
Starting with the punchline first and then back tracking. That would be bad.
Yeah, that would be very bad. Okay, if you got to talk
Or fly open.
Fly open is a good one.
Yeah, so because they're looking at that. Yeah,
not an airline's tip. We're talking about your fly.
Your fly, your zipper.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how many guys walk around with their zipper down.
Yeah, I'm checking mine right now.
Yeah, okay, well, the whole Me Too thing, you got to be careful. Yeah. If you got to talk to a group and you're a civilian,
yeah.
What are just a couple of basic things to remember before going up there, like actually, like your thought process, you know, if you're thinking, even if you have no training, this would be a tip for someone who's got to, you know, got to speak at their insurance company luncheon or some crap.
Yeah, look at the back of the room.
That's a good one.
Fixate on a point.
Because that keeps your eye level up? Yeah. Is that the point of that?
Yeah, and again, you're not looking at anybody's face for reaction.
Oh, I like that. Anything else?
No.
No, nothing. Just focus on one thing.
You know what's funny is
that's the second tip.
As a stand-up,
focus on one thing at a time.
You know, as a stand-up, those are the things you don't actually think about. Just the physicality of standing, which is so important. But you, as a stand-up, you kind of get over that, or you should get over that pretty darn quick. The actual physical standing in front of a crowd with a mic in your hand.
Yeah, the physicality of it. Yeah.
Which you can learn at the Rotary Club or PTA. Or,
right, right. You get training anywhere. All right. Yeah. Tip number three, you got to write a toast for like a wedding.
Okay.
And you don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
You're grilling the groom, say.
Yeah.
Where do you start? If you don't have a lot of comedy training, you pick something out on the guy.
Names. Find out their names.
That's a good. You don't want to screw that up.
Yeah, find out the mother-in-law's names.
Oh, yeah.
Go to the mother-in-law book.
Yeah, go to the mother-in-law
Go to the mother-in-law. Google mother-in-law jokes and take the most benign ones that you think you can get away with.
Ah, there you go. So you don't try to go for the blue edgy stuff right away.
No, unless that's your gig, you know, unless that's your thing. You're known as the dirty guy.
You're the dirty guy. The
dirty cousin Al's going to say for you, I hope he doesn't say the F-bomb. It's a wedding.
And then you're kind of hoping he does.
Yeah.
Of
course.
All right. Someone tries to bust your chops at a party.
Yeah.
They're giving you grief. Oh, they're busting your balls.
Yeah.
Is there any surefire retorts that listeners could use that might stop that person from at least picking up?
What are you, a moron?
You like that?
Yeah. What are you, a moron? Just say it straight up. What kind of idiot are you?
You're going for shock value.
Oh, you got to shut these knuckleheads down immediately.
Yeah, yeah. And let them know that you're not playing that game.
Yeah. Or you feed the fish. You feed them with information. Like, it's sort of the Johnson thing. You feed them.
You feed them.
You feed them what you want
them. Like what else about me do you find funny?
Yeah.
Is that
Well, no. I mean, like, usually those guys want to rifle something you don't want to hear into your ear. So you find out what they might know, and you feed them. Like, you start grilling them with questions immediately. You turn it fast.
Turn it fast by asking them.
Yeah.
Get them off their it's an athletic. Get them off balance.
Get them off balance.
So you are an athlete.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's all athletics, right? It's pick and go. You do a pick and go. You introduce him to another guy. Hey, Jim, do you know Steve? Listen, Steve likes that thing, too.
Yeah.
Bill was here just telling me about, tell him this thing. Yeah. And then you back away.
And then you get the ice cream before it melts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. All right. Last advice.
Mm-hmm.
Icebreakers for a guy on a date. Because I know I don't even want to. Yeah, I mean, how do you? Because a lot of guys think they're funny.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Yeah.
And they say the wrong thing. Or maybe even it's what do you stay away from if you're trying to come up with an icebreaker?
Oh, man.
That a woman would not find funny.
You know, that's well, all of it. But, you know, for the most part, you're better off trying not. If you're not like really a funny cat, don't try to be funny. Try to be serious.
Yeah. Just be who you are. It's, again, organic.
Yeah. And, you know, the best thing I could get advice-wise is lean in real close when you talk and take a mint.
Take a mint, lean in real close.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
To give you the illusion of intimacy.
Yeah. What's going on? How you doing? It's a beautiful dress. I don't know. It's been so long since I've had game.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I've been married 20 years.
Yeah, because that last part sounded a little creepy, but yeah, I like the advice.
It's all creepy after 50.
Yeah, that's really true. That advice corner brought to you by Burlap Skimpy Lingerie. The less there is, the less it itches. For her lap, try Burlap. All right. Hey, you know, I still got, look at this. I got another legit sponsor here.
Ooh.
All right, everybody wears underwear. Nobody gets it right. You know who gets it right? MeUndies. I'm wearing MeUndies right now. They're comfy. They make you feel good. When you feel good, anything is possible. The sky's the limit when you're comfy down under. That's the whole point. This is real, people. MeUndies are real. They're made with the softest fabric. They have the coolest styles and colors. They come right to your door. This is one of the things for you, Joel. You got things coming to your door.
I can deliver stuff.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
Oh, no, not as a job.
No, you don't want that. You want to get them. Once you put them on, Joel, you're gonna wear MeUndies, I'm telling you. If you're going to the movies, just sitting around watching baseball, just hanging out on the couch, the most active thing you could think of, you're playing baseball, you're watching, it doesn't matter. Wear the MeUndies, you're going to be comfy. I like the boxer because, they give me a little length. I'm a little
looser. You need a boxer. You got a big thing that you need to control.
We're going to have to edit that. I'm not
all
sure.
Right, all right, sorry. That's a real one.
Well,
apologize.
MeUndies might want that. Who knows? You know, they regardless of size, you're going to be comfortable down there. That's the tactful way I'm going to say that. Now, here's the deal. MeUndies is risk-free. They're going to make sure that they get the perfect pair for you. If you're not happy, they're going to refund the cost, and you get to keep the underwear they sent you. And because you're listening to me, you're going to get 15% off your first pair of MeUndies and free shipping. Go to MeUndies.com/Chet. That's MeUndies.com/Chet. And here's an extra gift for you. Order a pair, take a screenshot of your transaction, send it to me, and I'll send you another pair. So you get one for 15% off and then another pair from me for free. First 25 people to send a proof of purchase, a screenshot of your purchase or a pic of the receipt or whatever, I'll send you another pair absolutely free. Just send your proof to gift@podcastone.com. Put Chet in the subject line. That's Chet in the subject line at gift@podcastone.com, and you will soon have another pair of MeUndies. I'm telling you, I'm wearing them right now. Most comfortable thing I've ever worn in my life. Put MeUndies in your collection. Let's do this. MeUndies.com/Chet. All right.
Now, MeUndies.
Hi, MeUndies.
Hi, MeUndies. They're always trying to grab MeUndies.
Sure, that's a perfect day for MeUndies. So listen to me. It's time for, you ready for this?
Yeah.
The Fiery Four.
Oh.
The Fiery Four.
These are headlines from me.
Oh.
They're ripped from today. Everybody's doing the headlines.
Ripped.
The Smoking Five. The Blazing Ten.
Oh, you got to have a list.
Take.
You got to have a list, man.
So I got the Fiery Four. Fire number one. Another LeBron billboard. LeBron James got traded to the Lakers. Or
who?
Signed with the Lakers.
Who?
Exactly. LeBron James. He's part of the Johnsons.
James.
They're defacing his billboards, even though he got traded. Here, Lakers fans, some of them
they don't like him.
They're throwing paint on him. And I'm just wondering, what do you think the instinct is there? I would think he'd be happy to have LeBron.
I just think they're billboard haters. I think anything
It's not even it's not specific to LeBron.
No, I don't see that.
These are people who just don't like advertising on any
level. Take that billboard away.
So it's like an Amish gang.
Yes.
No
ads.
No billboards of any sort. That's an interesting take. I like that one. Fire number two. Love that sound effect.
That is good.
Tiger Woods, the golfer. Looked pretty good at the British Open. Finished about fifth or sixth, somewhere in there. But he's 38. Can he make noise? Can you come back at 30? Can you do anything, I guess, is what I'm saying, at the age of 38? That's going to make a difference in the world.
Just bowling.
Bowling.
Bowling, so you have a shot.
He should take all that.
Yeah, all that energy, all that built-up energy and transfer it to bowling. Because most sports guys can do other sports.
That's true. He's got athletic ability.
Yeah.
He goes to bowling. It's indoors.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get outside. You got to get outside. That wind and the rain. He's in the wrong sport.
Yeah.
They should make it mandatory.
During it.
Yeah, you can eat pizza and drink.
Yeah, which you don't get in golf.
No. Well, at least not on the pro tour.
Well, you can drink. Right. On the pro tour, you're not supposed to.
You're not allowed to.
Yeah.
But pro bowlers.
Dang it. Oh, God, it's encouraged.
Big basket of Cheetos hanging from the ceiling. Fire number three. All right. Does the show The Conners have a chance. This is the Roseanne, but without Roseanne. They just signed the entire cast.
Yeah.
They're going to put it on NBC. Like we were talking, a lot of strong people on it. Without Roseanne and this environment, whatnot, did it stand a chance to make it?
Sure.
What do you, why
do
you think?
Well, because of what you said. I mean, there's a great cast, so, and a good joke writing. Does it lose its, you know, it's so hard to tell what will hit with the public. Will it be good? Will it be bad? It could be bad and be a hit. It could be good and be a hit. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
I wouldn't have predicted they would have picked up Roseanne at the beginning. I wouldn't have predicted that anybody would have watched it. I wouldn't have predicted that they would have fired her after a racist remark.
Right.
I wouldn't have, none of it. I couldn't predict.
Yeah, it's TV. Yeah.
But I'm not a, you know, I'm not a predictor. I'm not a good predictor. Hey, so people ask, what do you think? I don't know. I don't think about stuff.
Really, you should not be predicting.
No, don't ask me. I'm not the hip hypnotist or whatever that person was back in the day.
Pat Collins.
Didn't she predict stuff? She predicted JFK's assassination 4 years after it happened. What can I tell you?
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't, in the day, before the internet.
Before the internet.
Know what happened.
Oh, my God. I just heard.
And finally, fire number four. How would you handle this whole kneeling players in the NFL? I've been keeping up on this.
Yeah, man. How would I handle it?
Yeah, because as a non-sports guy, you don't really, you don't have anything vested.
Well,
you root for the Packers, but that's about it. But, I mean, it's a big deal now.
It's a huge
deal. The owners
deal.
Are kind of screwing it up, and the players are kind of screwing it up. Everybody, all sides.
The second they made a big deal about it, they were screwed.
Yeah. They should have flown under the radar with the whole thing.
People want to kneel. People don't want to kneel, don't kneel. Don't make a big thing about it. It'll all gone away.
It would all. So your whole theory is just let it go away.
Let it go away. Why did they want to make a thing about it?
Even the people who were trying to make a point.
Yeah. You mean the guys?
They should have just said, we're going to make a low-key point.
We're going to make a low-key. But how about, I mean, the
we're
outrage.
We're just tired. We're kneeling. A couple reasons.
We're kneeling.
We're tired. Yeah. There's, they're not, the cops are kind of roughing us up. But we're also tired.
We're tired.
So they should have kind of doubled up on it.
Well, and it was the outrage from all the fans that usually sit during the national anthem. That's what I couldn't deal with. How dare he kneel? Oh, but you're sitting. Well, I have a beer. I know if I stand up, I'll spill it. I mean, it was a lot of that.
That's brilliant. That Fiery Four brought to you by Stupidos. Really small bathing suits. For really dumb guys. Now with the room key pocket right in there.
Ooh.
That little pocket for your keys, even in that small bathing suit. All right, buddy.
Righteous indignation. That's the thing that's wrecking America.
Righteous indignation. Yeah.
A lot of people are filled with it.
People with their fists doing
God
that.
God dang it. They're just,
I'm going to add unenlightened righteous indignation.
Yes, even better.
Yeah, people who don't quite seem to know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know who does know who he's talking about? Kelly Nash and Scott Brom. They do a new podcast right here on Podcast One. It's called Baseball and Chill. Listen, each week, every week, Kelly and Scott from the Major League Baseball Network, MLB Network, they cover all kinds of big storylines and trending topics on and off the diamond. So anything about baseball, they deal with and they deal with it. They are good, man. I've heard their podcast. It's great. Some of their guests have included people like Hall of Famer John Smoltz and player turned coach Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi, the Yankees, they get guests, man. And they're good themselves. Listen free to this show exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOneSports.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave a rating and review for the show. I like them. It's called Baseball and Chill. Baseball and Chill. Kelly Nash and Scott Brom. In fact, I got Scott Brom coming up on the podcast, I think, next week. Man, I like that guy. I'm going to have fun.
And you know, I did have a podcast.
You did have a podcast?
A short-lived podcast, for real. It was called Lunch with My Facebook Friends.
Wow.
And each week, I would interview somebody I kind of only knew from Facebook, but not in real life.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, we did about 8, but the producer, he dropped the ball, and we just stopped.
Oh, that's too bad.
But it was fun. I actually met some guys I didn't know.
We were
friends, and so
Then you go, I better meet him and see if we're actual friends.
Exactly. And it's like, could we be friends this? Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, listen, my thanks to the eternally funny Joel Madison. What a great time I had here. Follow him on Twitter, @ Joel Madison. Catch him live around town here and there. If you're lucky,
also Facebook and Instagram.
Instagram me on Instagram, share pics.
Yeah.
Anything else you got coming up? You doing stand-up anywhere?
No, no dates.
No dates?
No
but
dates.
You get back to like Minneapolis every now and then.
Once in a while, Minneapolis.
You do,
do it around town a little bit. Vitello's I've done a couple of times.
That's a anywhere Wendy Liebman's thing. Yeah,
Wendy
yeah.
Liebman's, local comedy at Vitello's in Studio City.
Well, follow him anywhere you can. I'm telling you, as you just heard, this is one funny man. Follow me on Twitter at Chet Waterhouse and follow my buddy Jeff Cesario at Real Jeff Cesario. Thanks for listening. Without you, I am teaching ceramics. What do you need?
The trivia.
Oh, dang, I forgot the pop quiz. I almost got out of here without a pop quiz.
I worked on this for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
dude.
No. Right. That's more than you've worked the entire month so far.
Pretty
Let's
much.
Let's do it. That's right. Pop quiz. How did
pop
I forget?
Pop quiz.
Didn't have it on my sheet. Oh. I'm a good reader. Not great off the top of my head. Pop quiz. This is where you fire me questions.
Trivial questions, right?
Yeah. Okay. And get this. I'm on a roll. I lost 19 in a row, and now I've won one. So I'm on a roll.
All right, got four
quiz,
trivia questions.
Try to
stump the chat.
Try to stump chat.
All right. When was Trivial Pursuit first published?
This is the back cast. That's what they call a back cast in fishing.
Ah.
That's where you're trying to cast forward, but the lure goes backward.
Oh.
That's what we just did. We back cast the
back
pop quiz this week.
Well, we'll shove it in there, right? Can you shove it in after the me underwear deal?
That's what 72-year-old grandma porn said. Can you shove it in there?
To the pizza guy. There you go.
Exactly.
You know what's bad is when they have the pigtails and the granny porn. That's
yeah,
what it's.
No,
they try to look younger.
Yeah, that's not. A couple of makeup.
Yeah. They end up looking like Howdy Doody.
Yeah, it's not
going
to work. They're going for a little Annie.
When was Trivial Pursuit first published?
Ooh. Trivial Pursuit was first published in 1974.
Nope.
All right,
that was a good guess, though. You want to try again? Do you get two guesses?
No, I get just the one.
1981.
Guess. 1981. Damn.
All right, here's a trivia.
7 years.
Animal,
right,
from the
one.
Animal world.
Animal world.
An octopus can fit through any hole bigger than its what?
Bigger than its agent.
Wrong.
No,
Wrong.
I'm going to say bigger than its head.
Well, that's kind of close, but technically beak.
Wow, octopi
beak.
Have beaks.
They have a beak. Wow. I think it's the only hard part of their body.
Wow.
All right.
That's what she said.
From Rip.
Come on, I know
apropos.
A couple of these.
I know
a couple of these.
All right.
I'm 0 for 2.
Ripped from the headlines.
Yes.
Who was taller, Leopold or Loeb?
Ripped from the headlines. Leopold was taller.
Wrong. Loeb.
Damn it, I'm 0 for 3. I don't stand a chance. How many more of these you got?
Just one.
Okay.
Ready?
I don't stand a chance, but I'll try to go out with my dignity.
Who's making love to your old lady while you're out making love? Who sang that song?
Making love to your old lady while you were out. Well, nobody. Well, it's just don't bother me. The bass player.
Who sang that song?
Oh, who's making love?
Who made that a hit?
Oh, brother. That's not Otis Redding. I'm going to go... I'll go Otis Redding.
Johnny Taylor.
Johnny Taylor, damn it. 0 for 4. Well, that's more like it. That's more like my record. And man, am I glad we went back for that.
Yeah.
I got doused.
Well, you know, it's part of the show, so you'd be...
I got
Madison,
hammered.
Can you come back in here and do that over the phone? Because we need that as a consistent
I took
piece.
Four straight Ali jabs to the face.
Bow.
Yeah, you just pounded me.
Floating like a butterfly.
Exactly. You listen, Joe Madison. Thank you, and thank you for dusting me in Pop Quiz. I should have got one of those. Damn it. Well, listen, thanks, Joe Madison. Again, follow
him
on Twitter at Joe Madison. Follow me on Twitter at Chet Waterhouse. Follow my buddy Jeff Cesario at Real Jeff Cesario. If you want more of me this week, guys, I'm in Rind, Minnesota for the 17th annual Pie Eating Contest Defibrillator Challenge. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your crave.